What a God we serve. Always remember his mercy and grace. Y'all can hear? Okay. His mercy and grace is being poured out upon the church. We need to continue to pray for our loved ones. Continue to pray for your family, your friends, the ones that don't know God. Because I tell you what, we serve a God that can do all things, people. There's no limits to our God. As the church will believe, God will move. Ooh, that's a big statement. As the body of Christ believes the word and believes him, and it's his will, he will move according to his will, and things will happen. Ooh, the power of our God, the anointing of our God. Praise God. Because his mercy and grace is so evident upon our hearts and upon our lives, people. Amen. You know, we serve a miracle-working God. A miracle. Just a matter of announcements to you. One more thing. After at the end of Saul's service, we locked the doors back there, okay? Just to let y'all know. And, you know, and you might say, why? Because you have to protect. So if you ever come late, and I can do that because she'll laugh. She'll laugh. And even her husband pointed, so hey, look. Just knock on the door because Ron and him are right there. That's their job to make sure if it's after that appointed time to let people in. So I like to tell our church people, those doors are locked, this door is locked. So after church, when the children's church goes, all the doors are locked because you never know. My job is to protect you physically and spiritually while you are here. And we will do everything possible in that avenue to make sure. Nowadays, it's such a sad situation, you know, of what's going on in the world today. But we know God is in control. And you might say, you know, and let me tell you, you know, you might be thinking, well, why are you, you know, locking doors? We had thought about doing that. And you know how they had that big thing in Texas where that guy went in that church and killed many, many people. You know, it's a sad thing. No one in that church had a gun to take care of things. And so I just want to let you know, as you come here, we do have people that are ready to take care of things. Just to be honest with you, you know, because we got to take care of those things, you know, just to make sure that everything's... I don't want you to come being fearful, but we got to protect. We got to make sure that things are taken care of. You know, that the kids are taken care of, we are taken care of, because you never know. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had somebody, church had already started, it was almost 11 o'clock, and someone opened that door and then hurry up and closed it. And so Ron went out there to meet them, and they said something like, this is not the right church. They picked the wrong church. Something wasn't right. They weren't dressed to come to church. Something wasn't right. And you know, and you might say, well, oh my God. But let me tell you this. They opened that. All I saw was an arm. And I said, Lord, I wish the veil could have been taken off of my eyes to see the angels that were at that door. We do all we can physically to take care and protect. But also we have to remember, we serve a God that protects his church, people. So I don't know what that guy saw or those two guys saw, but they said, we picked the wrong church. That's right, you picked the wrong one, buddy. You picked the wrong one because our God is in charge. So I just want to let you know, praise God. We serve a great God. And look, don't be fearful to come here. Let the Lord move like he wants to move in your heart and life. Jelaine and I, we appreciate every one of you. We love you guys. And we appreciate y'all. Amen. Well, happily. How's what?
We love you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I try to be a good pastor to every one of you guys. I do. Well, thank you. Try to be a good pastor because, you know, a shepherd is not one that beats the sheep. Oh, huh? pastor, our shepherd, is one that leads the sheep and says, come on. Now, if you have one that kind of gets whatever, you go and you take care of things. But you do it in love and reverence towards them and help. And we're going to be, and you pray. And you ask God to move upon their hearts and souls. Because you see, God sent his son to die upon the cross for who? The human race. And that's all. Jesus did die on the cross for dogs, cats, and we love our dogs, and we love our cats, and we love all the other animals. Those are nice, but let me tell you, Jesus died on the cross for humanity. Because in John chapter 3, verse 16 says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. God loves us. He may not love everything we do, but he still loves us, and he keeps sending his word. Come on. Come on, Jill. Just come on. And yes, we might stumble a little bit and fall sometimes, but I tell you what, the power of God comes in and says, okay, Joe, and I'm using myself because I don't like to use. And he just comes and puts his arms around us and says, come on, get up, and let's get the job done. You fall, repent, ask God to forgive you. When you ask God to forgive you, it says that it goes into the lake of forgiveness. It goes there, and then he remembers it no more, people, at all. Can you imagine that all the things we've done wrong and we've asked forgiveness of, our Father has no recollection of it? Well, thank God. Thank God, huh? But that his mercy and his grace is continually upon our hearts and upon our lives. Amen. What a God we serve, people. What a God we serve. Look. Okay. What a miracle working God we serve. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14, please. Matthew chapter 14. Oh, Jesus. Right before this chapter, in Matthew chapter 14, right before we're going to start reading about verse 22, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000. I mean, you know, what a miracle, people. Two fish and five loaves of bread. That's not a lot of food, huh? I don't care how big the fish are, or how small they are, or how big that loaf of bread is from Evangeline May. It doesn't matter. Huh? You take five loaves of bread and two fish, and you start to feed 5,000 men. That's not counting the children. A miracle. A miracle. That's the kind of God we serve. That we cannot live in him. My God. You know, many of us have seen the miracle working power of our God in 2017. It's a miracle what I've seen. How God has moved upon men's lives and women's lives and children's lives and brought them back into the fold. How I've seen some kind of go away from the Lord, and God miraculously, as we pray and seek the Lord, brings them back. Brings them back. Mightily changed by the power of God. Changed by what God can do in their hearts and lives. But can you imagine? You know, no one has food for all these people. And one little boy stands up and says, this is what I have. And he gives it into the hands of Jesus. And all of a sudden, the disciples come and they start to break the bread and give it to the people. And the more they break and give, the more they have in their hands. It's like this. They broke it, and it's like it wasn't broken. Faith was building up on the inside of these disciples. because they saw the miracle working power of their God. How many times have we gone through something or been somewhere that we prayed and sought God, and or we threw out a prayer and God miraculously answered it? Or we saw the hand of God come in a situation and change it around. What does it do to us? It builds our faith in our God to believe that He can do all things, that He is alive and well, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the Father is listening to the prayers of His saints through the blood of Jesus. It builds something on the inside of us to believe. There's a stirring going on in the church world this day. There's a stirring going on in men's lives today because of the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit that's being shed abroad in people's hearts and lives this day. Those disciples came up as Jesus brought them forth and said, "Feed these people." And Jesus took that bread and that fish and blessed it and offered it up to God. People, that's just like what we give our substance unto the Lord. He blesses it beyond measure. Beyond measure. And buddy, the power of God, as they started to give it out, they fed all 5,000. And they started with the children and the men and the women giving it out. And all of a sudden, they look back, and there's 12 baskets full. Can you imagine that little boy thinking, "How am I going to carry that home?" Yeah. What am I going to do with it? You know, what's going to happen? The power of our God. The power of our God. The power of our God. We saw in Exodus the power of our God when they were being brought out of the land of the Egyptians. And the last plague came in, and Jesus said, "Look," well, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Look, put the blood on the top of the lintel and on the doorposts. And when the death angel comes in, it won't go in and kill the firstborn or the firstborn son of that family." The miracle working power of our God, people. We don't seek God for miracles. We seek Him because He's God. But in the meantime, as we seek Him, the power and the presence of our God is poured out upon the people. Upon the people. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Look at verse 22. It said, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side. While He sent the disciples away, when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray." I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. Prayer needs to be a vital part of everyone's life, people. Every one of us, no matter who we are in the body of Christ, we need to have a prayer life, people. We need to spend that time with God. It could be in a room, it could be in your living room, in your kitchen, in the bathroom, in your car, whatever it is. You know, Jesus didn't say, you know, I know He talks about going to your closet, but that just meant to go in a place to be solitude with Him. But we need to have a time where we spend daily time of praying to the Father. Praying to Him. Through who? Through Jesus. There's an avenue and a way how to do it. We bring our petitions to the Father. The scripture says we don't bring our petitions to Jesus. We bring our petitions to the Father, but we go through the blood of Jesus to the Father. Because Jesus is the only door. And so as we go to Him and we bring our, we need to have that daily time where we come to Him and we get fueled up for that day, where the Spirit of God can work in our hearts personally, where He can show us things that need to change. He can show us and give us direction for our lives that day. It could be in the morning, it could be a new time, it could be however during the day, it does not matter. I know David said about seeking him early in the morning. I think that might be the best time, but I mean, hey, it could be in the evening. It could be any time. But we need to have a time where we seek him, just as Jesus. If Jesus needed to seek the Father in prayer, how much more as we are creatures of our God that we need to seek him and to get the answers to certain things for us and direction for our lives. He sent the disciples away. He said, get into the boat and go to the other side and I'm going to pray. Jesus knew he needed time with the Father. He knew the crucifixion was coming up. The disciples didn't want to believe it, but he knew it was coming up. He needed direction from the Father. He needed help that he could do what the Father wanted him to do so he could reconcile mankind back to the Father through the blood of Jesus. That's the power of our God, people. The power of our God that he went to seek the Father. How much more, people, do we as a human race, we as Christians just need to maybe take a little bit of time every day. It doesn't say you have to spend 30 minutes. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say you have to spend an hour in prayer. It doesn't say you have to spend 2 hours in prayer. It doesn't say you have to spend 10 minutes in prayer. There's no time limit. It just says to seek him. Some people have more time than others. But we all need to take the time to get with the Father. Raise our hands, get on our knees, however you want to do it. And just call upon him and say, Father, you see where I am, and I need your help today. You see what I need from you today. And then bring our petitions before him as we praise him and honor him, saying, Father, help my wife, Lord God, this day. Pour out your spirit upon her. Let your anointing rest upon her life. Father, I come against the enemy that I try to bind, Lord, her mind and her spirit. I bind the enemy from her life, and I loose the spirit of the Lord upon her in Jesus' name. Pray for your children, the ones that are saved, that the power of God will be poured out upon them. And that God would rescue them and help them. That they would seek God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Remember, the enemy is trying to win the hearts of your children to himself. He's trying to grab them with the hook of the world. You know, somebody said this, and somebody told me this, that they said to this person something. They said, I want to know how it is to be rich, to have money. And I thought, when they told me that, the other person, I said, the world has that claw. Now, there's nothing wrong with money at all. At all. God wants us to have money. God wants us to be rich if that's what he desires. God wants to bless his people. But you see, the avenue is when we cross over the line and we love it. Ooh, that's the wrongness of it. You know, that's the wrongness. When we love it so much that we hold on to it, that we won't give when he says give, or we won't help when he says help, you know, that we grudgingly hold on to it. But the Bible says it's like bags with holes, and it just keeps pouring out, and we don't even realize it's being poured out till one day we look into the bag and it's empty. But God says when we do his will, that he holds it and blesses his people, as we read that scripture in Proverbs. Just being willing to do God's will. But Jesus went to pray. And people, 2018, we need more prayer for the church, for God's people, for the body of Christ than ever before. We need to pray, asking God to move. Asking God to move upon a situation. To humble ourselves and pray and seek him. Seek him in what he desires and wants us to do. might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if there's anything I can do for the Lord. People, you are more valuable to God than what you think. Every one of you in here is so valuable. So valuable. Don't ever put yourself down. You are so valuable that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. You know how much you are worth? To God, you're worth his son. Ooh. Makes me almost want to cry, my spirit. You are so valuable to him that you are worth his son to come and die a horrible death because of the value that he wanted to bring back the connection, the communication between mankind and the Father. Oh, looking for my glasses. Look at this. Look at verse 20. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, here we see, you know, and I've taught on this scripture many, many times. But here we see Jesus tells him to get into a boat, go to the other side. Okay. How many times has God told you to do something? And we have the thinking that if God tells us to do something and we start to do it, that everything's going to work out okay. Ooh, it's just going to... The red carpet's going to flow out, and we're just going to walk down that red carpet. He told those disciples, go to the other side, get in that ship while I go pray. And when they got in that ship, all of a sudden there was a storm that rose up trying to destroy the disciples. Look, when God tells you something, that doesn't mean the carpet's going to be rolled up. But let me tell you what it does mean, that God is with you. That no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon our hearts and upon our lives, and God will come to our rescue. That's better than any lifeguard. That's better than fire insurance. That's better than flood insurance, that God will come no matter where we are. When he tells us to do something, the power of Almighty God will be with us because we are his children. You know, think of this. Your children, when they need help, you do what you can to help them. If you know they need help, you do what you can. That's the same thing as our God, our Lord, when he is our Father, our God. Let me tell you, when he tells us to do something and we're on that missionary journey to get that thing done, the power and the anointing of God will be upon your heart and upon my life. Even though the enemy out there will try to bring destruction and do whatever he can. Do you think he likes God's ways? No. Do you think he likes God's people? No. The enemy hates us. And let me tell you, you know what the problem is? One of the problems is that the church does not hate the enemy. Ooh. For the most part. The enemy hates us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to kill married families. He wants to kill husbands and wives. He wants divorce. He wants destruction of every kind. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God says, I've come to give you life and for you to have it more abundantly. The enemy hates the church. But for the most part, you just listen to people talk. The church does not hate the enemy. And when the church, and I'm saying the whole, does not hate the enemy and try to bring destruction to his works, that means he has control over them, over their minds, their spirits, their souls, and their bodies, because they've allowed it. The Bible says that we fight against principalities and powers that are in high places. But let me tell you, they might be in high places, but they're not higher than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blood has conquered them. And all we got to do is take on that blood and say, okay, Father, you've given us victory. Help us to do what you've called us to do. Let me tell you, you're not out there by yourself in any way upon your job and your home and whatever parts of the community. You're not out there by yourself. You are a child of the living God. The power of God is upon you. Walk around as a child of light, trying to bring help to a dying world that needs help. That we are the faucet that they can open and the water can flow out of the Spirit of the living God. As we allow the Spirit of God to use us to pray with people, to help people, to tell them about Jesus, that he's the Savior of the world, to get them to a place of accepting him as Lord and Savior, how he can change a life around. Man, you look at Paul. Saul, now Paul, and you think of this man in the Bible, how he went from being a man that persecuted the church. I mean, there's documents on all this stuff. You get it in the Bible, but there's other history books. How he would go into homes and take Christians out, have them stoned and killed. And he thought he was doing the work of the Lord. That God could look at this man, Saul, now Paul, and one day have a great conversion like he had. And to change a life around so severely, going from one direction and all of a sudden changing it, and he's going in another direction. And you know what the amazing part is? Paul wasn't even one of the 12 disciples. I know a lot of people think so. Because you have them, you know, they start naming and they'll say Paul, and you just, okay. He's not. And all of a sudden, being a man that persecuted the church, that killed children, that killed mothers and fathers, had them put in jail, stoned, hung, all kinds of stuff, people. That God would take this man and change his life and bring him to a place where this man now writes 13 books of the New Testament. That's an amazing thing. That's what God can do. That's the kind of God we serve that can change a life around. That can change a life around. That can take a heart that is hard before him and make it pliable and soft before him. And all that needs to happen is repentance. And that's what Paul did. Repentance flows. Look at this. Let's go back to verse 27. But straightway, immediately, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they who were in the ship come and worshiped him, saying, Of a good truth, you are the Son of God. Here we see. Jesus told them, Go to the other side. Jesus went and prayed to the Father and said, Lord, Father, I need some help. If Jesus needed help, not that he had sinned, that we know Jesus never sinned. He was a perfect sacrifice. That's why he could shed his blood. shed his blood just for us. He prayed and the Father strengthened him. As he was praying, he was quickening his spirit that his disciples needed some help, that a boisterous storm had rose up. What the enemy was trying to do was destroy them. And all of a sudden it says Jesus comes walking on the water. God, Lord, it's amazing, our God, walking on that water. He's the God of the sea. He's the God of the earth. He's the God of the heavens, people. And there's no one like your God. He started walking on that water. And let me tell you, when we're in trouble, he starts walking on the water for us. He will do whatever it takes. I know every one of us have been in places, and probably some of us are in still some places, where we've cried out unto the Lord, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And let me tell you, he's not far off to help us. He's not far off to help us. That's the kind of God we serve. He came in for his disciples walking on that water. They saw him, and then they didn't know who he was. They said, that's a spirit. Oh, my God. They were afraid. As that storm was raging over the ship, every time Jesus walked on that water, there was no boisterous water or storm where he walked. That's a statement. Every time Jesus walks into your life and you're going through something, let me tell you, he calms the storms of life. That's the kind of God we serve that will calm every storm of life. I don't know how many times I've called out unto him feeling not too good. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord just comes over me. Lord, my God, thank you, Lord, the Spirit of strength and power and anointing and praise unto my God. Saying, Lord, I can go another day. I can go another week. I can go another year. Praise God Almighty. That's the power of our God. That's the power of our God. Helping us to get through to do what he's called us to do. And all of a sudden, they say, that's a spirit. Probably they were thinking the evil spirit, who knows? And it calls out and he says, this is Jesus. This is your Lord. And Peter said, well, if it's really you, tell me to come. And he said, well, get out. Get out and walk. And Peter started walking on that water. That's an amazing thing, Peter. Amazing. Amazing. And all of a sudden, instead of looking at the Father or Jesus and keeping his eyes upon him, he started to put his eyes on the boisterous winds that were blowing over the ship and over him, Peter, not over the Father. Because wherever the Father is calm, or Jesus. And all of a sudden, Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus and all of a sudden starts to drown. People, keep your eyes on him in 2018. Don't put your eyes on government. We pray for our government leaders. Don't put your eyes upon the church. We pray for the church. Don't put your eyes upon your pastor. We pray for your pastor, don't you? Thank you. I appreciate it. I know you do. Don't put your eyes on any evangelist. Don't put your eyes on anyone except Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, he will keep you going. He will strengthen you. He will help you. Power of our God. And all of a sudden, as he started to go down, it says that Jesus took his hands and said, come on, get up. When we think we're going to drown, huh? It says the power of God comes in and does something and lifts us up. When we think everything is lost, the mercy of God comes out upon us. Unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. That's the grace and the power of God. Unmerited favor towards us. Towards an undeserving people. We don't deserve it. But because of who God is and the blood of Jesus, we have unmerited favor with the Father. And he took Peter and raised him up. And he said, Peter, come on. And they walked together. And every time Peter was on the side of Jesus, they walked. The storm ceased. The storm ceased. The storm ceased. They got into the boat with the other disciples. And all of a sudden, calm came over that boat. People, that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. We don't serve no little puny little God that can't do anything. We serve a God that is miraculous. We serve a God that is all powerful, all knowing. That's the kind of God we serve. That can take a life full of evil and sin, a body, a person, and change their lives and give them direction and give them help. That's the kind of God we serve. That can take a sinner and make him into a saint. Every one of you in here are saints of God. Oh, you might say, oh, now Pastor Joe, I think you flipped a little bit here. But every one of you, because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he lives and reigns in you, you are a saint unto him. You are a child of God. You are a saint unto him. And I know we come from a background with whatever saint. That's not correct. You are a saint unto him. Every one of you. Because when he looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus. Now, you don't have to walk around today or tomorrow saying, I'm a saint. Yes. I thought that's what you were thinking. I am a saint. Yes, I am. Sit right there and just wait. I'm a saint. You know, you don't want to do that. But we're saints of God. But I tell you what, even our Savior, Jesus Christ, was the most humble man. Humble. Just because we are saints and children of the living God, we should be the most humble people, ready to humble ourselves. It's Jesus that took that water, took the towel off of his belt, bent down, and started washing the feet of his disciples. It was him. And we all know, we're thinking, that's our Lord and Savior. He should be doing that. They should be doing that to him. They should all be washing his feet, that he becomes waterlogged. Because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. We have to humble ourselves. Be willing to do whatever it takes, Lord. Be willing to be humble before him. Humble yourselves, it says, under the mighty hand of God. Okay, Lord. Whatever he calls us to do. But I tell you, people, 2018, we need to get to a place where we have that prayer time with him, people. Take that time every day to let it build you up as you read your word, as you crack open that Bible, and you see it, and you read it, and you consume it, and you go to him. Saying, Father, it can be 10 minutes a day, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Let the power of God move in your heart like he's never moved before. Okay? Amen. And look, he got in that boat and it ceased. One day problems will cease. Either it will cease upon the earth by the power of God, or when he comes for us, it will cease. One day. Amen. You may stand, please.